Can you begin to wave your hands unto the creator of the heavens and the earth? In honor,
you are worthy,
in appreciation,
be praised, my
in worship,
you are worthy to be praised.
Give him thanks.
You are worthy to be praised.
For you
are worthy to be praised.
Coming back to the sanctuary.
My
in good health.
You are worthy to be praised.
The Lord is worthy to be praised.
You are worthy.
He's worthy to be lifted. Deserve our praises.
For
deserve our thanksgiving.
He's worthy of a praise.
Holy Spirit, thank you.
No man.
Thank you for what you did last time
on earth
through the Sunday school.
Should give glory.
Thank you for what you're about to do today.
All the glory. All the glory.
Mighty name, we give thanks. We give thanks in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Church, I want you to pray and commit this moment into the hand of the Lord. If the Lord can drop just one word into your soul, spirit, and your mind, you'll be a changed person forever. Just one word. I may not be speaking to everybody, but let me speak to you. Allow the Spirit of God to speak to you. Can you now talk to God? Say, Lord, speak to me. The idea of tell them has passed. Tell them. No. That is not it. We should tell the Lord to tell me, speak to me. Open your mouth and talk to God and tell God to speak to you in particular. You want to be edified. You want to be blessed. You want to live that life that God will look down and say, I have a son here on earth. Father, Lord, starting from me, the preacher, the teacher, speak to me. As you have spoken to me, Lord, pass through me and speak to your people. Just that one word that will change our character from bad to good.
Let me know.
Let it drop.
More
let it drop. Let it drop.
Oh, when I know you, I'll find you.
In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. We have brethren who are still on their way coming. Whatever may be delaying them from reaching here, may the hand of the Lord settle the matter in the name of Jesus. Talk to God. In 1 minute, Father, bring our brothers, our sisters, who may be stuck down in the traffic. If they have any police case on the way, Lord, settle it. And before the end of this Sunday school, let them be partakers. Thank you, dear Father. In Jesus' mighty name, the Lord has settled whatever is the problem. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. Father in heaven, we appreciate you, who is able to do exceedingly abundantly, above and beyond what we ask and even imagine. We ask that you turn every corner of this congregation around with your word. We ask that you speak to every listener, both online, visual, audio, and at the end of this meeting, Lord, your name shall be glorified. In Jesus' mighty name, we pray. If you are happy, clap your hands and sit down. Praise the Lord. Welcome your neighbor with a Holy Ghost smile. Yes. We are brothers and we are sisters. Hallelujah. Did you check around? Is there anybody you saw last week that you didn't see today? Or you did as I commanded by calling on your neighbor? Please don't fail to do that. There's a blessing for that in the name of Jesus. This morning, by the grace of God, we have a character from the Holy Bible that we shall be discussing. Last time we spoke extensively on the faith of our elders. And as the Lord we have it, he also brought another character for me so that we can study. And why I'm much interested in the characters in the Bible is because there is no story in the Bible. There's no story. Everything you see in the Bible is a message to the church of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise the Lord. So there's no story that you can say, let me read this story. And you read it and you allow it to die just like that. No. It must be applied. And unless you apply what you see in the Bible in your own personal life, living to please God will not be easy. Hallelujah. I made this statement because of what is written in the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11. Now, all these things happen unto them for example, and they are written for admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. 13. There hath no temptation taken you by such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able. But we with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Praise the Lord. So I told us there is no story. So whatever you saw or you see in the Bible, whatever you are going to see in the Bible, it happened to somebody in some generations past. And for us not to repeat the same mistake, it was written so that you can learn. So, and it, I prefer it that we learn from others' mistake. You know? If you don't learn from other people's mistake, you will learn in a hard way. Because by then, you'll be feeling the pain. You will not be yourself anymore. So I think it's better to learn from other people's mistake. And that is why we're going to look at the character in the Bible called Esau. Hallelujah. What did I say? The character in the Bible called Esau. Praise the Lord. I want us to know something, that Esau did not fall from heaven. Esau did not come from heaven. He lived here on earth, was born by somebody, given birth to, nurtured, and he grew up. So Esau is not an angel in the likes of Angel Gabriel or Angel Michael. No, he was a human being. So for that reason, we are going to be seeing this topic in four different points. Number one, the origin of Esau. Or who is Esau? Number two, the sin of Esau. What made this name Esau to have such stigma that whenever you make mention of Esau, somebody will say, God forbid. What stigmatized this name so that nobody is willing to give his son Esau? Just like the other day, our teacher, our pastor Olumide, was talking about Jezebel. No matter how pretty, how beautiful you are, you cannot tag that name to yourself. And it's very difficult to find a handsome boy, very handsome, very rich. In fact, you have fame everywhere. It's very difficult to find somebody that will boldly say, my name, his name is Esau. And that made me to wonder very well when I came from the north into the place where we do our business. I stumbled into one boy. They were calling him Esau. And I paused. I look at him, I say, sir, what do you say is your name? He laughed. Because that was my first time of hearing somebody answering Esau. So, like play. I found out that this boy was answering Esau. Ah, I said, now, wow. So, you get the mind to bear this name. But I found out that he was nicknamed Esau. Not that his parents gave him the name. Praise the Lord. So it's very difficult to find somebody who has such name. Oh, sir, is there any one of us here that has his son as Esau? Praise the Lord. So the sin of Esau, we're going to see that. And why did God hate Esau? Number four, and the last, is the implication of Esau's character. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Am I talking to non-living things? Praise the Lord. Come up alive now. Get as he be now. Men are not leaving only me here. Praise the Lord. So we're going to see the origin of Esau, the sin of Esau. Why did God hate Esau? The implication of his actions, the implication of his sins. Praise the Lord. Number one, in the origin of Esau, let us see the book of Genesis chapter 11, verse 10. Genesis 11, verse 10 to 32. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad, 2 years. And Shem lived after he, praise the Lord. Let's take it gradually. These are the generations of Shem. Shem was 100 years old and begat Arphaxad 2 years after the flood. And Shem lived after he begat Arphaxad 500 years and begat sons and daughters. And Arphaxad lived 530 years and begat Salah. And Arphaxad lived after he begat Salah 403 years and begat sons and daughters. Church, let's pause it in the book of Genesis 11 because it is very lengthy so that it will not take our time. So you can take your time and read the account that I'm trying to bring out in Genesis 11. So let's read Genesis chapter 25, verse 19 to 27. So, Genesis 25. Thank you. And these are the generations of Isaac, Abraham's son. Abraham begat Isaac. And Isaac was 40 years old when he took Rebekah to wife, the daughter of Bethuel, the Syrian of Paddan Aram, the sister to Laban, the Syrian. And Isaac entreated the Lord for his wife because she was barren, and the Lord was entreated of him, which means, and the Lord answered him. And Rebekah, his wife, conceived. And the children struggled together within her. And she said, if it be so, why am I tossed? And she went to inquire of the Lord. It is important that if you are having any problem in your marriage, in your conception, in everything that you are doing in life, it is important that you inquire at the right place. Praise the Lord. So she went and inquired of the Lord. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in your womb. In the womb of who? In the womb of who? The wife of who? The wife of Isaac. Hallelujah. So two nations were in her womb. And the Bible says, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy boys. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people. And the elder shall serve the young child. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Let's continue. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. Behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red all over like a hairy garment. And they called his name who? They called his name who? And after that came his brother out. And his hand took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was 80 years old when she bare them. So the genesis of Esau is traceable. Praise the Lord. So it's traceable, so he did not fall from heaven. So when you are looking for Esau, you can take You can start your journey from Abraham, though he's far beyond the beginning of Abraham. So if you are looking for Esau, you want to get him, you want to get his address. Once you get Abraham, you get Isaac, then you will get Esau. Praise the Lord. Because he was not an angel. He was giving birth to. He did not migrate from anywhere. He has an origin. Praise the Lord. So, and that is it for his genesis. The genesis of Esau. I want to say again that Esau was the great-grandchild of Terah, the father of Abraham. And the grandchild of Abraham. And he was also the son of Isaac. Amen, church. Amen. Number two, on the scene of Esau. Let's read the book of Genesis 25, verse 29 to 34. We're going to hear something. Let's go like this. Genesis 25, 29. And Jacob sought pottage. And Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with the same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore, for this reason, his name was called Edom. We are still reading verse 30. Verse 30. And Esau said unto Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same pottage, for I faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. And what profit shall this birthright do to me?" And Jacob said, "I know they do business without an evidence." And Jacob said, "If you meant this statement you just dropped now, you are going to swear that will be your signature, upon which if any court case comes up, I am going to have it as an evidence." And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day that you have relinquished your authority to me." And Jacob said, "Swear to me this day." And he swore unto him, and he sold his birthright unto Jacob. I want to still read this particular verse in using the New Living Translation. New Living Translation, verse 29. "One day when Jacob was cooking some stew, Esau arrived from the wilderness exhausted and hungry. Esau said to Jacob, 'I am starved. Give me some of that red stew.'" This is how Esau got his name, Edom, which means red. Can I pause to tell you something? That lovers of St. Valentine, who is identified with red or reddish attire, has their origin from Esau. They cannot do without red attire. That is why once in a while, they will adorn themselves with red clothes. They will adorn themselves and everything around them with red. Please, I didn't say "Thus says the Lord." This is what I think. Amen and amen. How can you not forbear because you saw a red pottage and you hurriedly told your brother that unless you give me this red pottage, the thing looks so attractive to him that he cannot give up. He said, "Until you give me this red pottage, I am ready to give up anything because of this red pottage." Church, like play. Let's finish it. And Esau said to Jacob, and I am starved, give me some. Give me some of that red stew. This is how he got his other name, Edom, which means red. All right, Jacob replied, but trade me your right as the firstborn. Trade me your right as the firstborn. Look, I am dying of starvation, said Esau. What good is my birthright? Can you hear that? What good is my birthright? But Jacob said, first, you must swear that your birthright is now my own. Church, is that not a pitiable situation? That somebody out of hunger is ready and willing to relinquish his authority to another person. Church, the sin of Esau is not far-fetched from what is happening today in the Christendom. Esau. Esau's are found in the church. The present-day church. Is it not the same statement that somebody who is supposed to be a wife of somebody because of job will lose their wrapper until you get to the last clothes that is beneath your gown, and then you will allow somebody to penetrate you because you want the job. Your simplest name is Esau. Because of pottage, he sold his birthright to his younger brother. I begin to pity that man because he didn't know the gravity of his offense. He thought it's all over. The end of this story said that Esau ate and rose up and walked away and said, that is normal. Esau finished eating. It did not occur to him that he has made the worst mistake of his life. It did not occur to him that something is leaving him in a hurry. Even though it will slowly come to pass. That is why when sentence against iniquity is not easily executed, it will become a tradition. That you commit a sin and you are still walking upright, going to wherever you wish to go. Business is flourishing. You can still prophesy. You can still discern. You can teach. Listen, the gift of God, the gift and the calling of God is without repentance. If he has given you, he has given it to you, but the end will justify the means. He's going to demand from you the accuracy, the righteousness that is gotten through your gift. The souls that you won through your gift. Church, he ate and rose up to walk and said, it doesn't mean anything. The same reason. Does it really matter how I dress? Does it really matter where I enter? Does it really matter what I eat? Does it really matter? Does it really matter? Somebody say it's more than a dozen of matters. More than a dozen of matters. He woke up and left. Jesus help me. Church, what is he telling us? That Esau has no value for spiritual things. Hello, church. Who is Esau? Esau is that supposed child of God, that member of the church who has no value for spiritual things. No wonder the Bible said that a carnal-minded man. Can we read it? In the book of 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 14. 1 Corinthians 2, 14. And he says, but the natural man receiveth not. The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. For they are foolishness unto him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. Birthright is a spiritual gift. Birthright is an honor to sons that the follow-up sons does not have. Birthright is a crown that is naturally, divinely bestowed on the firstborn. Let me tell you, no matter how horrible a son is, it's not easy for the father to give up on him. Parents can do anything to make sure that their firstborn is in order. They can do anything. Listen, if the middle, then they misbehave, somehow they will relax. The level to which they are going to pursue the problem will not be as when it is on the son. You remember why Reuben was cursed? It was not in the best interest of the father for him to curse his son. But Reuben is a type of Esau. And the father said, this sin is too much. To correct others, Reuben, you will not go far. Praise the Lord, church. Esau has no value for spiritual things. Romans chapter 8, verse 6. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace. The whole nature of Esau is full of carnality. The same character is in the church. Present day church. Sir, did I hear you clear? Even in this place, how do you know? A sermon that will transform the life of people shall be going on in this church. And somebody will stage a discussion outside. Somebody will stage discussion. And the person will be freely talking, forgetting that a preacher is at the altar. And the preacher is not preaching his business ideas. The preacher is not talking about his journey, where he traveled, all the connections. Maybe they would have come in. The preacher is talking about our eternal destination, the well-being of the church. You are the church and my church. What to do to inherit that rest that we were promised? Somebody will be jesting, talking, and I will look at that person and say, are you sure this person is a member of this church? Listen, our pastor said, if you won't go, our hymn said, if you won't go, don't hinder me. That is the church for you. You must be serious on why you are here. You must be serious on what you come here for. What if what you are coming here to do is to look at faces, my friend? You go to market, you will see more people. And you start looking at faces, from the ugly to the prettiest, from the most handsome to the most ugly. They are there. And the church, we are here for spiritual something. It has no value for spiritual things. It was full of carnality. That is Esau for you. May you not become the present day Esau in the name of Jesus. That is if you will learn from the previous Esau. Amen? He didn't have value for his God-given position. Hosea chapter 1 verse 10. He didn't have value for his God-given position. Yet, the number of the children of Israel shall be as sand of the sea, which cannot be measured nor numbered. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it was said unto them, ye are not my people, in the place where you are condemned, in the place where you are rejected, in the place that you don't merit to be, in the place where you are said, you are not my people, there shall be said unto them, ye are the sons of the living God. You are the sons of the living God. Listen, to unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. It's a gift from above for you to be the son of your father. So many of us are stingy with our hands. It's a gift from the Lord. A gift. You are called a son. We should value it. Do you know our daddy, Pastor Moses, he told us something. He said, there was a day, I love him so much. There was a day he was, how did he put it? He said that he was on his room and he heard the voice of the Lord calling him son. He said, son. You know how he used to demonstrate? He said, me. He called me my son, his son, child. The level has changed. The level has changed. Let me tell you, in all my evangelistic life, till today, I dare tell you truth, I have not had him call me son. And that is one of the problems I have. Because I have tried to know my position. I have tried to know if indeed, sir, we should make sure, how did he put it? We should make our calling and our election sure. It's a very strong point, especially in this ministry. It's a very strong point. My friend, we cannot be coming to church and you are coming like you don't know what you are here for, and then you didn't know where you are going. How can you start moving? I used to tell God, please, just once, let me know my position. You know? At least, even if you know your son, you have dream of rapture. You have the dream of rapture, sir. And maybe you no go. Sir, that person no go. You have the dream of rapture and that person no go. What will you do? At least, you will call some brethren. You know that they are spiritually filled. You know they have the Holy Ghost. When you call some brothers here and they answer you, you say, okay, I'm just calling you to confirm whether you have gone. So you call another person, the person no go, you say, okay, rapture have not taken place. What will you do then? You will start working on yourself. You will start working on yourself. Then, but when you call on somebody, you know very well, this person is a child of God. If I see a child of God, I know. I tell you, say, I know. And I know it. I don't need you to tell me. If I see that person, my friend, I hold them in high esteem. I hold them in high esteem. The same thing is happening. When I see you, you are not on your way to the kingdom of God, I will not follow you. Lie, lie. That's why our pastor said, follow who no road. And he's very good. And he's very, very, that statement makes me to rejoice. You can't dispute that. You can't dispute that. I know when somebody no road. Far back in 2010 and 11, 2008, I mean to say, I was in a particular ministry. May God help us. The Lord gave me a vision, and I was moving with the servant of God. Then, not the last one. I was moving with that servant of God. And then he was supposed to lead us to a place. We were going. And I know the road to that place. I know the road, but he was the one in front. And then we were moving. Getting to that place, he diverted to the left. I called his attention. I said, "Sir, the way you are following is not the way." He told me, "Follow me." I said, "No, I know this one." I said, "I have testimony. I have had experiences." I said, "No, this one I know." He said, "I'm too argumentative." I said, "I know the road." And immediately, he followed that one. I followed this one, and I woke up. I had a voice. "It's not going where you are going." Church, I repeat, according to my pastor, let's follow who knows road. Hallelujah. Don't be stingy with your hand. Clap it very well. Galatians chapter 4, verse 6 to 7. Galatians 4, 6 to 7. "And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the spirit of his son into your heart, crying, Abba, Father." This is a benefit of sons. Bastards does not have the spirit of God. Bastards, they don't have the spirit of their father. So the Holy Ghost is coming upon sons. If you are a son here, can you shout hallelujah? He said, "Because ye are sons." Can you put it again? "Because ye are sons. God has sent forth the spirit of his son." The spirit of his son is the spirit of his father. That is the Holy Ghost that is coming upon the church. Let me tell you, I say it without any apology to the devil and his cohorts. The bastards cannot have his spirit. Does bastard have inheritance? He don't have no inheritance. Praise the Lord. So because you are sons, you have the spirit of your father. But Esau despised it. May the Lord have mercy upon us in Jesus' name. 1 John chapter 3, verse 2. 1 John 3, 2. Oh, God, help me. First John chapter 3, verse number 2. "Beloved, now we are the sons of God, and it doth not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when he shall appear, we shall be like him, for we shall see him as he is." Child, sons shall be like him. Hallelujah. Sons shall be like him. "For we shall see him as he is." If that is the only promise, my friend, since we don't go to church, we don't pray, we don't do this, we don't fast, we don't come programs, this and that, and there is a promise that we will see him. Are you not comforted? Church, are you not comforted? Oh, you think I'm talking to the men? There's no gender here. There's gender equality in this particular son of a thing. Church, hallelujah. "We shall see him, for we shall be like him," for the sons. But Esau, two, the Bible says he ate and walked away, having no repentant heart to what he did. Remember, we are still on the scene of Esau. He had no repentant heart. Let me tell you, whenever you see a child of God is always remorseful. Very, very remorseful. Even if, because of the flesh, he or she offends you and offended you, and he later or she later realized that this thing She didn't do it very well. There's a posture the person normally put on. And most times, the person comes back and say, I'm sorry. It was as a result of anger. We know. We've not yet arrived. We never reach where they go. We are still on that journey. The person will always come back and say, I am sorry. Last week, I was trying to park and come in a hurry. So I saw one space like this. Yeah, I don't go there. Match the brake. Lock up the car. Come inside. Just when hallelujah and praise was going on like this, I don't close my eyes. I asked somebody. Sir, somebody is calling you. I say, hi. Ooh. Now, wow. What thing be that? Now, chief security. You can say, my officers or my boys told you not to park here. But you park there and come in. I say, hi. Sorry, sir. It was just in a hurry. Please take the car key. I handed over. Then I say, thank God, though, I am free from this one. How will you justify yourself when you are not right? Is it only when you are preaching that you will want others to obey you? Not when you are in a position of authority, you want others to obey you. When you are a subject, obey another person. Praise the Lord. So he has no repentant heart. If you are here and you are always like this, nothing moves you. Nothing pricks you. My friend, there is only one genealogy that I can trace your character. And that is the genealogy of Esau. Not from Abraham. Esau. Which means your generation began from Esau. Who cannot repent nor say, Lord, I am sorry for my offense. Are we talking? Amen? Praise the Lord. Hebrews 2:16. Hebrew chapter 12, verse 16. You can read that on your own. Let's go to another point. Why God hated Esau? I'm sure everybody will want to know this one. Praise the Lord, church. Hebrews chapter 12, verse 16. When you go home, you read that. There's this feeling in Romans chapter 9, verse 13. Romans chapter 9, verse 13. And he says, as it is written, Jacob have I loved, but Esau have I hated. Why? This God now, wow. The Bible says even when they're there for womb. Why? Waiting be an offense. This and that. Blah, 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 blah. Some people are even quarreling with God for making that statement. Some people are, in short, if there's any language that is offensive in the Bible, now this one. He say he hates somebody when they're never born. How about? Why now? Can anybody tell me why? Why God hated Esau? I know I ask professors, and they ask students. Sir, can I hear you?
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Okay, God hated Esau because of that action.
Because of that action.
Yes.
You see? he hated Esau when he don't commit a sin. I be when in the womb. You see, you hear say, even right inside the womb before they were giving birth, he hated Esau. Church, now the same thing with the answer, all this while, but in the light of further revelation, we have come to understand that it takes somebody who is giving birth to grow up, know his left and right to commit sin. Amen. That's why newborn babies, no sin where you go right for them. But there is something that engineered that hatred. Church, let's go to the book of Jeremiah chapter 1. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 5. Jeremiah. Church, hear this. Before I formed thee, including Esau, you and I, in the belly I know thee. And before thou comest forth out of the womb, I sanctify thee and I ordain thee a prophet. But my emphasis is in a part of it. Before I formed thee in the womb, I know thee. In other words, every human being that is seated here, you were once a spirit, existing in the spiritual realm. And your father and your mother does not know your sex. Nobody, no doctor can fathom who you are. That no matter the height of that technology, it cannot tell who you are when you were not yet formed. But before Esau was formed in the womb, Jehovah Almighty, omniscient God, he knows him and what he's capable of doing. And before he entered his mother's womb, Esau has started provoking God. Church, are you clear that God knows what Esau can do? Are you clear that God knows what you can do? Your next line of action, God knows. God knows. Can we further clear this? In the book of Romans chapter 1, Romans 8, 29, I mean to say, Romans chapter number 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. My emphasis is in a part of it. Whom he did foreknow. So there is this foreknowledge in God that makes him assess unaccessible. This foreknowledge in God that no matter who you are, God is the only person that knows the secret. The secret of secrets. Let me tell you, if you hide inside the ocean, God is there. You are in the darkest of the night. It's as bright, brighter than the sun before God. There's no secret. So you don't hide and say, let me do this one. So after all, nobody is watching me. There is an unseen eye that watches over the universe. And his name is Jehovah Elohim. Can you shout hallelujah to my God? So he knows, so that you stop being angry with God. He knows. He knows us one by one before his conception, before his birth, and God knows our end. This one should make us fear God. That he allow you to carry out any action, be it good or evil. He chooses to allow you so that you see the implication. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. God knows. He knows all before our conception and delivery, including our end. The same way we blame Jacob for everything that happened there. Every one of us will say, Jacob is a thief, Jacob is a robber, Jacob is this, he's a supplanter, he's a liar. Can I tell you the truth? In the business line, that is what is called bargaining. There is what is called bargaining. So how much is your market? How much?
200 naira.
How much?
200 naira.
He said 200 naira. I will pay 10 naira.
No, it's 200 naira.
It's 200 naira. Can you say 20 naira?
No, it's 200 naira.
Did you see that the business is not consummated? Did you see? When they try, kwanule afya gele. At least you try and sell it. Okay, I pay 180. Can you sell?
No, take 190.
190? Or you package it. Hallelujah. The business is done. He gave me price. I bargained. And we settle. The business is consummated. Hallelujah. You know they do business again. All of us now, white collar job we they do. Are we like a roomy dead and we be pulpit night and day? We dead to business. Hallelujah. So there was a bargain. There was a bargain that if I give you this, you give me that. To me and every other person that cares to know, Esau foolishly, carnally submitted his authority to his younger brother. Church, I don't want us to go further because there are so many things here that is buried in this particular message. We have these two subheadings to deal with. Any other time, we shall come together. For now, hold it like this, and the Lord will bless every one of us in the name of Jesus. Amen and amen. Just before we go, can you just bow down and begin to think? Begin to think about this message. Think about it. What you just heard, does it make any meaning to you?